Matter of fact, this is the only one that's, you're the only church that's even, has even done anything for me at all. And I don't have no idea what else you have in mind, but, you know, just what that I've seen so far. I appreciate each and every one of you, I really do. But most of all, I appreciate the Lord in having me to be a part of this congregation and to be your pastor. I know that I don't understand why, but you could have got someone else that could do a better job. But I do thank you. I knew that something was going on the other Wednesday night. Because it's not that many times, it's not that often that many ladies get together unless they were really just gossiping about getting rid of the pastor, and I knew my wife was in the middle of it, so I didn't think she wanted to get rid of me. I didn't know, but if she did, you know. But I do thank you. And she did, and I had no idea. But really what surprised me was that I knew that the month of October was the month that all the churches do it, but I don't understand why they picked the month of October. You know? And then y'all come up and do it in November. That's fine. But, you know, I don't understand. The more and more I read, the more and more I pray, and more I think about God and what He's done for me, come to find out, less and less I know about Him. Less and less I know about this word. But we must stay in it. I do appreciate each and every one of you. You don't know how much. So, I had no idea that I was going to be preaching this early, but hallelujah, y'all want a long message. I've got a feeling, but I ain't got no long message enough for today. But it's 11:30. Well, hey, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I'll let y'all out by 12 then. Praise God. Otherwise, you didn't set the clock back. Alrighty. Turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 40. The book of Psalms, chapter 40. Now, there's two verses, you don't have to turn over that, but there's two verses of scripture I want to read over here in Deuteronomy chapter 6 also. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 in verse 15, it says, "For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. In verse 23, same chapter, chapter 6 of the book of Deuteronomy, it says this, and he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our father. And over here in Psalms chapter 40, in verse 1, it says, I, David right here is talking about his relationship. He's talking about in whom he was waiting for. In the 40th chapter of Psalms speaks of the Messiah and Jehovah's servant, obedient unto death. And the psalm begins with the joy of Christ in resurrection. But it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lie. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offerings thou hast not desired. Mine ears hath thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness, and thy salvation I have not concealed. The loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercy from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for the reading of thy word. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you may bless the words we've just read. Father, we just pray, God, for that unction from on high. Oh God, that you may touch me, that where no man can stand alone without your help this morning. Father, I know that I'm not worthy to even stand here. I'm not even worthy to read your word. But I'm so thankful that I'm worthy because of thy righteousness. And God, I pray, Father, that you'll just have your right of way in this service. Touch the hearts of the people. Father, the ones that maybe be cold and indifferent, backslidden, away from you. We pray, God, Father, that they will come to the altar this morning, Father. They don't have to wait until the invitation time, but Father, the altars are always open here. Father, where people can come and bow and just bring their cares and their burdens unto thee. Father, we want to thank you and we want to love you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We pray. Right here, the psalmist David is speaking. And it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. In the book of Deuteronomy, where we just read a little while ago, it says, for the people of the Old Testament, and he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in. We always talk about his bringing us out. The Bible is also filled with his bringing us in. He brought me out. First of all, we read in Psalms chapter 40 and verse 2. He brought me up, also out of a horrible pit. Out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I am so glad that we have the Word of God, that we can go and we can look at portions of it that can help us along the way and remind us of some things that, well, we had forgot about. I had forgot about some things that the Lord has done. And it's not that I just really put him on the back burner, but I really forgot about some of the things that he had done in my life. And I sure am thankful that not only was I in that horrible pit, not only was I like that father's son that went astray and he ended up in a hog pen, eating the things of the world, the slop. And we can think about the same idea too, that we go out here into the world and we don't realize it, but we're eating, we're chewing, and we're thinking about the world around us. And yes, if we don't watch it, we can get caught up in what the world has to offer us. The world itself today has so much to offer each one of us. It has us, it has the offer of wealth. It has the offer of notoriety. It has the offer of being popular. It has the offer of being somebody that we're not. But we can get on a higher ground if we don't watch it out here in the world. And we don't need to get on the higher ground. We need to stay down below God. We need to stay under his care and under his shepherd. We need to stay under the gourd. We need to stay under the fig tree. We need to stay under the tree of life. And we need to stay under his wings, per se, for today. Because if we don't, we're going to get so caught up in the things of the world. And when we do, then we're going to forget about the things that God has so blessed us with. I don't have no fancy home. I don't drive no fancy automobile. Somebody asked me one time, said, you know, I thought you'd have been and had your Cadillac by now. Are you preaching and you pastoring? I thought maybe you'd have a Cadillac by now. Well, that brand new Cadillac or that brand new Escalade or that brand new Mercedes-Benz or BMW is not going to do no more for me than what that car out there is going to do. The only thing I want that car to do is to bring me back and forth to church and carry me to someone that I can be a witness to. They cannot, all the other things cannot do that. If anything, it's going to get the people to look at me and not look at the one that I serve. And they don't need to look at me, because I will let them down. I will let you down. And I will not do it intentionally, but I will let you down. You don't need to put all your hope. You don't need to put everything that you have within the pastor, within the deacons of the church. You need to put everything that we have at the feet of Jesus. Because he will never let us down. He never has, and he never will. They said, well, why does he allow this to happen? Why does he allow someone in my family to pass away? Why does he allow someone to do the things that they do in my family? Why do they get to the point they don't ever want to come out? We can go and invite them to church, but they never want to come. They never want to come. They never want to get saved and stuff like that. And we talk to them, and we talk to them week after week after week. It seems like we're just speaking on deaf ears. And basically we are speaking on deaf ears. It's because they don't want to hear it. And the reason they don't want to hear it is because they have not been convicted by the Holy Ghost of God. Until they have conviction upon their heart, they're not going to want to hear it until then. What we must do, we must come and bring our cares to the altar. We don't need to wait until the invitation time comes. If a song touches your heart in a way that you need to come, and you need to come to the altar, come to the front and pray for somebody, you need to come and pray for them. We don't need to go out and just talk about them and just tell people about, well, I've tried everything I can do. Let's try Jesus. Because if we don't watch it, we'll try everything that we can do, and we'll get right on in it. We'll get right mixed up in what we're trying to do, and they'll see what we are trying to do. We are trying to bring them to the Lord, and it's no way that I can bring anyone to the Lord without the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The day that I got saved, before I ever met Jesus Christ, I met the Holy Spirit. I met the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost was bringing conviction unto me. And as he was stirring my heart and stirring my soul and everything, then you had people that was, says, you know, we need to go see him, but, you know, I don't know if this week's a good week. Have we prayed about it? We need to pray and ask God. Say, God, is it ready? Is it time for me to go and speak to them? Is it time for me to invite somebody? Is it time for me to give them your word? Is it time for me to get on my knees and beg them? Is it time, Lord? And the Lord will speak to us. The Lord will give us that time frame. God will say, yes, it's time. Or no, it's not time. Because the Lord God, he knows better than what we know. And he knows if we do go, and if they're not ready, then what are we going to do? It's just going to turn off to deaf ears. But in this horrible pit, see, they in a horrible pit. They in a mire and the muck and the filth of this world. They don't know no better. And the only way that they'll ever know any better It's through the preaching of his word. And I don't want nobody to get me wrong now. And I don't want nobody to leave the church today and say, well, he's saying that I'm a preacher. Well, the word preacher means giving life the gospel. It's what it means. So we're all in one way or another a preacher to go and give out the gospel unto the lost. But we cannot say that we're all called to preach, and then we say, if that's the case, then we're all called to pastor. Nope. No, we're not either. No, we're not. There's not but one call. Boy, there's not but really two calls. But I look at just one call. And that one call is called for a pastor. Where God will burden him down. Then another call is a call for the deacons. The deacons must be filled with the Spirit of God. And they must act accordingly. They must allow things to go on within a church. And they're supposed to look over the affairs of the church. They're not supposed to be the people that come in and tell the pastor what to preach and what not to preach. I've had people to come up to me and invited me to come to their church and ask me, say, what are you going to preach today? I have no idea. They want to put my message down in a bulletin on Wednesday evening so they'll know that what the pastor's going to be preaching Sunday morning. Well, how does the pastor know what he's going to be preaching if he has been being led by the Holy Spirit? He doesn't. But not only, we see about the pit here. We see where in Genesis chapter 37, in verse 24, it says, and they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. This speaking of the pit where Joseph was at. Joseph was thrown in a pit. He had no cushion. When they threw him into the pit, he just went straight down to the bottom. He had no cushion. He had no water to where it would break the fall. I sure am thankful that I have a cushion today. That when I fall, that the Holy Ghost of God is there to catch me. And he will catch me before I even hit the floor. I go back and I remember when I forgot if it was on a Sunday night or Wednesday night when it was, but we was at that talking. And all of a sudden, I lost my balance. And when I lost my balance, I knocked over the stand there. And I rolled up, landed in the floor. But I had a cushion there. The Holy Ghost of God cushioned me from falling and hitting my head on the corner of the pew. So he cushioned me from the fall. And he will cushion you. There with Community Baptist Church there one Sunday morning, is before I even started coming out here, but one Sunday morning there, the altar had got full and people was up there praying, and I was up there praying for the people and praying for one individual there. And when I got up, I had a pair of shoes. I had a pair of what they call wingtips. I don't know what the wingtips or whatever. But they had these grips on the bottom of them. They didn't have the slippery bottom. They had the grips like you could just go out here and it would grip the pavement or grip the or carpet or grip the whatever you was on, it would grip. But when I stood up, I went and I was going to slide this foot backwards to where I could push up a little more. Get this one. Get my knee off of the altar. But when I pushed back and when I started getting up, I went back to push back some more. And when I did, I just fell in the floor. I just fell in the floor right there on the front pew there. I just fell in the floor. I was right over there. And I just fell back. When I fell back, the Lord caught me. Where did I land? My head landed up under the pew where my head was at, up under the pew. I could have hit the corner of that pew, but I didn't. And it was a few minutes before anybody even come to me. One of the individuals there said, "Well, I'm not going up there." Said, "Hey, the Holy Ghost of God done got all over him. I'm not going to go up there and just start talking to him. I ain't getting into that now. I mean, hey." But then they come to find out that wasn't the case. They come to find out that I'd failed. And yes, and I had two or three men there to pick me up and help me up. Hey, that don't embarrass me. Some people would it would embarrass, but it don't embarrass me. Why should I allow that to embarrass me? Why should I allow anything that God does to embarrass me? It doesn't. It doesn't. My wife there one time, she's getting so frantic sometimes at me because people would start talking about my weight around her. And I'd always come back with a joke. I said, "Well, one thing about it, God give me a wife that knows how to cook." I mean, hey, God brought me out of a horrible pit. And he established my going. Not only did he establish my going, and he put me, and he allowed my feet to be upon the rock. He allowed me to get up and come out of that horrible pit where I could stand on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, the solid rock. I thank God that not only is Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, I thank God that they are my solid rock. They are my rock. They are my spiritual rock. But I sure am thankful that God also gave me a natural rock. A natural rock that will tell me when I'm doing something wrong. Who is that natural rock? That natural rock is my wife. And I'll tell you, some people, they will run, I've heard some preachers in the pulpit run the mother-in-law down and tell jokes on the mother-in-law. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to tell no jokes on my mother-in-law. I'm not going to run her down. Because she is instrumental in me getting saved. Because the very first night that I went by and I picked up her daughter, I'd never seen her before, she started praying for me. Right then. And I thank God for a godly mother-in-law that not only believed in the King James Bible, but she also believed too. Does it make no difference who they are? You do not dislike them. You do not hate them. You got to carry each one of them to the Lord in love. Verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lie. He has put a new song in my heart. I can't carry a tune. I can't sing. But he put the new song there. And who is that new? And who, what's that new song about? About him dying on Calvary for my sins. So today, if I was going to title this message, it would be a message like going to the mire, going from the mire to the choir. And I'm going to close with this. I don't know if I've told you, but yeah, I believe if it's worth telling one time, it's worth telling again. But I don't know if I've ever said anything to any of y'all about it. About the individual that in the springtime, in the fall of the year, he was cleaning up his farm, cleaning around the pond, cleaning around the cabin and everything. Him and his son was down there. They'd been cutting all the weeds, all the brush and everything, getting everything ready for the winter, so things wouldn't be growed up through the winter and there for springtime. They went and they cleaned the whole place up around the pond and cleaned around the cabin. Cleaned the cabin out. And as they was coming out that evening, they left the cabin and coming out. And they happened to think of something. The daddy did. Happened to think of the sewage system, the septic tank, that it's been a while since it was ever cleaned out. It's been a while since they have ever that they inspected it anything. So he said, well, son, let's stop right here. Let's go ahead and take a cap off. We'll inspect it separate time. They inspected it. And they said, well, it's got to be cleaned out. But it's too late now because time we can get started, everything's going to be dark. So we'll just wait and come back in the morning. So his son went over to get the cap on it, the cement cap and everything, and going to take it and kind of drag it back over there. And his daddy told him, says, no, so they ain't going to be doing that. Says, we're a pretty good ways off the road.
people don't come down here, because if they do, they have to come by the house, they have to come by the farmhouse. So they don't come down here. He said, well, okay, Daddy, we won't. So they went on home. Now, they say that this is not something just somewhere somebody had made up. They said that this truly happened in South Carolina. What part of South Carolina, I don't even know, was in the county. But as they was thinking the next morning what they need to bring, they said, well, we need to bring a ladder. Because we're going to have to get in there, and we're going to have to dip it out. And one of us is going to be on the outside and go take your bucket and go over there and dip it out in that hole that we dug years ago. Now, like I said, I don't know if I've said anything to you before about this or not. If I have, I may have left out something, but I just found it here the other day, and I was reading it again. Somebody had given me that years ago. That morning they got there, they put the ladder down, and they said, who's going down? They said, well, I'll go down. His son says, no, I says, and then you going down, getting on that ladder. Because he was up in the age. So the son went down. When he went down, he noticed that a dog had come by during the night. Fell over in the pit. And he come back up out of the septic tank there, and he told his daddy, he said, Daddy, he said, we got a problem. He said, what are you talking about, son? He said, you know, we didn't leave. We didn't put the top back on last night. He told us not to. And we decided we didn't do it. But a dog had run through here. I was a stray dog or what? But it fell in the pit. Now we got to get him out. We got to get him out. He says, Daddy, how are we going to do it? He says, well, you go on back down now and you take the rope. They took the rope off of the bucket. They took the rope and put a lasso on it. And they went down there, we were going to try to get the rope around the front paws of the dog and his neck and pull him up by his shoulders. But every time he tried, the dog would start moving. And he tried to start moving. It always looked like the rope would always come off or whatever. And he told his daddy, he said, Daddy, he says, this is not going to work. So he come back out of the pit. Now he was talking to his father. This is a father and son. His son says, Father, what are we going to do now? He said, well, son, it ain't one thing we can do. We got to get in the mob. We got to get in the pool. We got to get in the pit. We can't just stand down on a ladder anymore. We got to get down in it. And he says, Daddy, who's going? He said, well, you know I can't go down, because if I go down, I don't know if I'll get back out. So the son says, okay, Daddy, I'll go. And he goes. gets down on the line, he goes all the way down. He goes down one step. Goes down another step, and he's kind of getting ready to lose something, getting rid of up choking all of this and everything. Goes down, it goes all the way down till it's about this high on his legs, up to his kneecap. He says, "Daddy, I'm down here now. What am I supposed to do now?" He said, "Well, you need to take the dog. You need to take the dog and grab him up and try to walk him up." So he tried that. That didn't work. He had gloves on, had long sleeve shirts and everything on. And he reached down up under the bed of the dog. See, that's what we was. We was that dog. It was in the pit. He reached up under that dog, got a hold to his belly, and pulled him up to him like his. He's back around. And he's back around. Waiting to get to the line. And had the dog crushed up against his chest. With him going up the line. And had hit it is the dog right here, up against his chest. And he was walking the dog. That's what Jesus has done for me. He didn't, a whole lot of the songs that sing and talking about that, where he bring me out or lead me out of the sin of this world. No, he didn't lead me out. He didn't speak of why I could just get out. He came where I was at. The mire and the filth and the stench of the sin that I was in. He brought me out. He brought me out. When he brought me out, he put a new song in my heart. He saved my soul. And I haven't been the same since. I know that I'm not what I ought to be for him, but I know that I'm not what I used to be either. I thank God for my Savior today. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, God, we just ask, Father, that you will do, Father, what was intended to do, Father, through your word. We know, Father, that your word says that you will never, that it will never return void. Father, we know that Lord Jesus is someone. This message this morning